we found out that he died not long ago, Steve. I was sitting here, and Glenn Baston was doing the news, and Jan Thomas came in, and he had this little AP copy, and he handed it to him, and Glenn looked up. He was incredulous. He looked at it. He turned it over to Bill Britton without reporting on it right away, because he could hardly believe it. And it happened. The man is only 42 years old.
Certainly a shock to everybody, although many people, Gary, at the Elvis concert here a month or so ago, as I walked out of it, I heard a lot of people say he didn't look like a well man. Well, whether he did or didn't, it's neither here nor there now, but there are certainly indications that he had had some problems over the past few years, not the least of which was his weight problem. And from different things that I had read in different trade magazines, he'd been very depressed about that, very depressed about his breakup with his wife in 74. And
you mentioned something you said at a concert.
I saw him at Notre Dame, Gary, in 1974, in September of that year. And in front of 20,000 people, he had apologized after singing a song that he was a little bit off-key and said that he did not feel that he had ever been the same in his life since his wife left him. And I don't know what bearing that has. I'm sure there'll be volumes published and printed on the Elvis Presley story, all facets of it now. We're going to see a barrage of things.
Well, that's what we really want to keep from happening this afternoon. you know, getting into a thing where people are just, people are calling up right now, and some women are in tears, and they can't believe it. It's, I have some pleasant memories of Elvis. In fact, all of them are. I never tell you about that. This is a true story. Elvis, I was hitchhiking. I'm from Memphis. A friend of mine, we were hitchhiking down the street, and he picked us up one time. And he was driving an old, beat-up 48 Chevrolet panel truck. Never forget it. Black panel truck. wearing a straw hat. He had to do that to keep away from the crowds and things. what a nice fellow. What a nice... He talked to us, took us all the way to our doorstep. Of course, getting out of the car, my sister was in the yard when I got out. And I said, okay, thanks, Elvis. See you later. And he humored us. He was really a nice fellow. And I met him on other occasions. Always cordial, always nice.
I thought we'd want to take some phone calls from people that remember various things, good things. You know, if you saw him recently in concert or if you had the opportunity to ever meet him, I thought we'd take some phone calls right now.
Okay, 585-2385 is that number. It's 15 past 6 o'clock at WHAX. It's 16 past 6. It's a great new Italian country restaurant out in DuPont Circle. There's Mama Grassati's. Yeah, you don't have to be Italian to enjoy it either. Mama has steak on the menu as well as pasta, fish on the menu as well as spaghetti. Mama Grassati, she's this marvelous Italian mama who lived here in Louisville at the turn of the century when all the family used to gather around for real country Italian food, see? And now when you go to Mama Grassati's, you'll see, I'm going to eat in the bedroom. That's right. They have a big parlor in there, an attic, you eat everywhere, right? A library. And Mama used to invite guests all over the house, and they'd just sit down and eat and have a good meal. The same way right now. Mama's house, like the turn of the century with Friendshaw lamps she made herself, lampshaws, I should say. Those little jelly jars that Mama serves wine in. No big fancy stem job, just simple and homey. And Mama loved Hatch. You never threw anything away. You go, you'll find out out in the attic at the Mama Grassati's Italian restaurant, DuPont Circle. Mama's a lovely lady. You'll enjoy yourself if you go out there eating. It's 17 past 6 now.
Hi there, this is Steve George. You're on the air.
Yes, I saw Elvis in Cincinnati on June the 25th and in Indianapolis on June the 26th. Mm-hmm. And he looked great. He did real good shows. But in Indianapolis, the last show that he had done on tour, he cried when he left the stage. He introduced everyone in his group, even the sound engineers, everybody. He brought his dad up on stage. I have a beautiful picture of that. And, you know, I just can't believe that he's dead. But that night, one of the guys, I have a friend who knows the band members and all of his bodyguards, and he told us that... this Felton Jarvis, the guy who produces his record, said that the doctor told him that if he didn't rest after this Indianapolis tour, that he was going to drop dead just any time. So, you know, I've been expecting, but I still just can't believe it. And, you know, the last two shows he did were just, they were just the best shows I've ever seen him do, and that was my 11th concert.
Okay, well, I thank you very much for calling.
Okay.
WHAS, Elvis, from 1956, I Love Me Tender. Well, in case you haven't been listening, the king of rock and roll is dead. Elvis Presley, the man who single-handedly turned rock into the most popular music expression of the young in our time, died at Memphis today. Memphis Hospital at the age of 42. He was taken to the emergency room of Baptist Hospital in serious condition this afternoon, suffering from what hospital officials said was respiratory distress. And, Steve, you know him. Well, did you ever meet Elvis by chance?
I had an opportunity to meet him a few months ago, but... I don't really feel like talking about it. You know,
that's really strange, isn't it? I'll tell you what. Okay, you've got some people on the phone here.
Okay, Ruth, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. What do you remember about an Elvis concert, or did you ever meet him?
No, I never, but my son was in Memphis. He knew him, and he ate hamburgers with him.
Uh-huh.
And he always talked about him, said he was such a person that, you know, was just plain, simple, you know, type person. And I always liked his records, and my kids grew up with his songs. I mean, I've got moving pictures of him dancing to his records, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he's only about 3 years younger than I am.
I see.
And, I mean, it's a shock to me. I just can't believe it.
It's understandable. It's a shock to everybody. Ruth, I appreciate you calling.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
It's funny, Mac Davis coming to Louisville, of course, going to be a great show. Mac Davis, a great performer. But in the late 60s, right before his very first record, Gary, he lived with Elvis Presley. Presley was kind of pushing his talent, getting him to write songs in 68.
In the ghetto, didn't Mac like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, in the ghetto, Don't Cry that, yeah. Daddy, just two of the songs that Mac Davis wrote for Presley. I think he wrote a total of three that were all 3 million sellers. And Johnny Rivers was another guy that Presley... In the early 60s and mid-60s, Rivers lived with him at Graceland Mansion in Memphis, and Presley was a big backer of his. On the line right now, I've got Mary. Hello, Mary.
Hi.
What do you remember about Elvis?
Well, that he's the greatest and the best singer that will ever live. And my husband and I, my little girl, just got back from Memphis, and we went down to his home, and his uncle took us up to the driveway and all, and Elvis was there at the time, and Lisa was there.
Now, how long ago are you talking about?
Just last week.
Last week?
I'm sorry, about 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh. So he just finished his current tour, and he was home again.
Yes, and the Memphis fans down there stood 2 days before tickets went on sale in line.
You know something, you're speaking about Elvis's home in Graceland down there. I, you know, am from there, and I don't remember ever driving by there. I'm counting 3 o'clock in the morning without seeing at least 3 or 4 cars parked out front of the house out there.
They were just there constantly all the time, and we had some good talks with his uncle and several of the guards there, and we learned a lot about Elvis that we really didn't know. We're both good fans of his, and there'll never be another one like him. And I'm hoping that President Carter will say this will be the day of mourning, a national, worldwide mourning day for Elvis, because he was tops, and he has been for about 20-some-odd years.
Okay, Mary, well, I appreciate you calling and voicing your opinion, your thoughts. This next song is a song that Presley released in 1957, and the expression, the song title itself, swept the country, and every now and then I must show my age because I still use the expression every now and then, and it was the longest record that he ever had charted. It was for 32 weeks in the top 10, 57 Good and Gold from WHAS.
Well, bless my soul, what's wrong with me? I'm itching like a man on a fuzzy tree. My friends say I'm acting wild as a bug. I'm in love, I'm all shook up. I'm all shook up.
WHS Elvis and All Shook Up. It's 6:29, Radio 84. And Chuck Tatum's forecast calling for considerable cloudiness, warm and humid this evening. A good chance of a thundershower at some point. Low temperatures in the low 70s. Cloudy, a good chance of thundershowers again tomorrow morning, too.
Operator, number for the Cobweb Foreign Car Parts, please.
How about the number of a good day?
Oh, it's you again. Never mind.
Wait a minute. Here it is. 582-2658.
And
before you ask, the Cobweb is located at Baxter and Broadway.
Thanks.
Did you ever get the part for your Porsche?
Yeah, but I need another one now. I'm sure the Cobweb will have it, though. They've got the largest selection of foreign car parts in Louisville.
I'll have to go there, then. I need some new parts.
Oh? You have a foreign car?
No, but I have a strange body.
The Cobweb, with Robert Bosch products for your car. Attention restaurant proprietors, investors, and businessmen. This may be the opportunity you've been waiting for. At 11 a.m. Wednesday, August 24th, they'll be offered for sale at Absolute Auction, a steel, modular, all-electric restaurant located at Walnut and Armory Place in Louisville. This two-story portable building is fully equipped, seats 35, and can be moved to the site of your choice. Good terms available. See the ad in the Courier-Journal or call Harold Helm, auctioneer, at the Paul Simon & Company. Remember, Absolute Auction, 11 a.m. August 24th.
Things are happening at the University of Louisville. New academic programs are emerging to meet the needs of today's students. In addition to our traditional wide range of programs, U of L has developed programs to introduce students to the exciting field of communications. Another new program can be tailored to fit the individual student's educational needs and leads to a Bachelor of Liberal Studies degree, which you and your counselor design. If you thought college wasn't for you, make your comeback at the University of Louisville this year.
All right, Rosie, hello, you're on the air.
Oh, okay, yes. I'd just like to make a comment about Elvis, just, I guess, kind of a memory, you'd call it. You know, my husband, you know, is from Lee County, Mississippi also.
And that's where Tupelo is, correct?
Right, yeah, Tupelo's the county seat. My husband's from Shannon. It's a little town, you know, very small. But anyway, I remember the first time, the first record I ever, or the first song I ever heard Elvis sing was a record, or a song called Old Ship. And I think he was like 13 or 15 years old, and he sang it and won second place in a talent contest with it.
Right, that's a song that he released in 1956.
Right, and I have it on an album, and I think the fondest memory I've got of him is sitting and listening to the and crying to the record on the ship.
Was this before? Was this before he was popular? Talking about the county fair, I guess.
Right, I think he was 13 years old.
And you saw him at that point?
No, I just had heard of it and heard that that was the first song that. You know, he ever sang in public, I believe, and he won second place at the county fair or state's, I believe it was the county fair, and he sang Old Ship, and I always wondered who won first place, you know.
Who won first place? Who could be better than Elvis?
Right.
That was a sad song, Rosie.
Yes, it was, but I guess it showed the human side of him, you know.
Okay.
Rosie, that's what I remember.
I appreciate your calling us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Baby, let me be your loving teddy bear. Put a chain around my neck and lead me anywhere. Oh, let me be your own teddy bear. Oh, let me be,
oh, let him be your teddy bear.
I just want to be your teddy bear.
WHAS. That's Elvis and Teddy Bear. We have some more, an update on the story about Elvis's death. Elvis Presley's doctor says a heart attack may have been the cause of death this afternoon now for the 42-year-old singer and movie actor. However, Dr. George, I can't pronounce that name, Nikopoulos, said the exact cause of death could not be determined until a postmortem examination is complete. Now, when reached in Louisville, Kentucky here, Elvis's grandmother, who lives here, Vera Presley, said it was terrible, of course, and when she was told a heart attack was the probable cause of death, she replied that she said it would be that the Presleys all had bad hearts. Elvis was found unconscious at his home by his road manager, Joe Esposito, who placed the call to the hospital. Esposito indicated that Presley was not breathing and did not have a heartbeat when he found it then. At WHAS, we'll let you know anything, any updates on this story whatsoever. We'll have them for you. Steve George is here. Steve was quite an Elvis fan. He knows just about everything about Elvis as far as his music and his personality and things like this. And Steve's taking telephone calls at 585-235. Some good things about Elvis you may remember, seeing him in concert or something.
There's a taste that's changing the taste of America. There's a taste that's changing the taste of America. Diet Pepsi, Diet Pepsi.
Now people who turned away from the taste of diet soft drinks are turning to Diet Pepsi. And no wonder. Diet Pepsi-Cola gets its taste straight from Pepsi. An honest-to-Pepsi taste that's changing the taste of America. And just one little calorie in 12 ounces.
There's a taste that's changing the taste of America. Diet Pepsi, there's a taste that's changing the taste of America. Diet Pepsi.
We're talking to adult moviegoers who have just seen Walt Disney Productions' new animated motion picture, The Rescuers. What did you think?
I started with a chip on my shoulder, you know, and I said, am I going to survive through this? And after the titles, I began to just relax. I'm just going to watch it. I'm not going to prejudge it. And it charmed me. I relaxed with it, and it entertained me.
It's going to be right up there with Mary Poppins and the 101 Dalmatians.
Walt Disney Productions' The Rescuers, rated G.
Starts Wednesday at the Kenwood and New Albany Drive-Ins. Two companion features, Walt Disney's No Deposit, No Return, and The Amazing Dobermans.
At WHA, 636 now.
Hello, Joyce.
Hi.
And what are your memories?
My memories of Elvis, I met him once in Las Vegas. I was at a concert here to see him, and I found him to be a very introverted, unhappy type of person, which to me, you know, he had to be surrounded by people. And
how long ago was this now?
Let's see, 2 years.
Yeah, okay.
And he had to be surrounded by people, and I just think the man was very unhappy.
All right. Did you, you obviously stayed and saw the show, right?
Yes, all of it.
What did you think of the show? As far as, did you think he was putting everything into it, or?
Yes, he was putting, no. I thought he put more into the people that were around him than he put into himself.
Well, that was a common comment that people were making here in Louisville, his last concert, that he was paying a lot of attention to the people around him.
I mean the people that were working with him.
Right, right.
Yeah, humility type thing.
Right.
Speaking of crowds of people, it is a place called Clearpool. It's a swimming pool in Memphis, and there were a bunch of kids over there one time. I was in that bunch, and you gotta figure, it's going to be very difficult for a man like this. Elvis, he was noticed at the back of the pool back there. He was kind of looking in from the outside of a fence. And
yeah.
It's kind of strange, you know, you could tell that he would love to come in and get with the rest of the people and have a good time, but he couldn't do it. As soon as he was noticed, he was mobbed completely. They had to get him right out of there.
Well, that's a different story, too, though. I think the man had a very introverted type thing and that he was unhappy.
Well, you almost have to be in a situation that he was in. He couldn't very well go out to the local supermarket or do things like this.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He was kind of put into that situation, wouldn't you think?
That's exactly what I got from what, you know, seeing him in Las Vegas and here. He was an unhappy type person that could not associate with people.
Okay, Joyce, we thank you very much for calling.
It's 6:30 WHAS, and Steve, we had that update on the story there. That at first it came across the wire, some sort of a respiratory distress, and now it's, I don't know how this relates, but a heart attack, they say now. That his doctor said the exact cause of death would not be determined, though, until a postmortem examination is complete. We're keeping up on the story, of course. Our news department is working on it to find out any other developments that do happen. We will let you know as soon as we find out some more things on this. Here's a great song, one of my favorites by Elvis. 1970, he did this. Kentucky Rain.
Seven lonely days and a dozen towns ago, I reached out one night and you were gone. Searching for you in the cold Kentucky rain. In the cold Kentucky rain. In the cold Kentucky rain. In the cold Kentucky rain.
With Elvis Presley and Kentucky Rain, Good and Gold Sound. We're taking phone calls, your comments, your memories about Elvis Presley at 585-2385 on the Gary Burbank Show. Gary?
It's 642, and Chuck Taylor's come in to talk about the weather. And I hear the fair is going to be nice, though, right?
Fair is going to be beautiful.
But before that, we got
some
problems,
going to have some showers and thunder showers tonight. Nothing serious or severe. Just some moderate showers and possibly a few thunder showers as a cold front approaches from the west. Overnight lows near 70. Then tomorrow, as the front moves through, all those showers should be out of our region by at least noontime, and it's going to clear up, turn cooler, and less humid during the afternoon.
The fair's coming. Well, you done told them to get out of town, right?
That's right.
Showers
and
out here,
highs tomorrow in the mid-80s, clear and quite cool tomorrow night with temperatures in the upper 50s to low 60s. And for the start of the fair on Thursday, just plain beautiful, lots of sunshine, highs in the low 80s with low humidity, and that same type of good weather should continue into Friday.
And it's hot right now, what, around 90 or something?
It's about 89.
89
right now.
Up there somewhere. Okay. Thank you, Chuck Taylor, meteorologist at WHAS.
You have a choice. Hi, I'm Don Meredith, and you do have a choice.
you can choose between General Motors and Ford. Once you have made that choice, you can choose your Ford dealer. I hope that choice will be Town & Country Ford. In the past, Chevrolet has been tremendous competition, but that was yesterday. If you're a General Motors owner and you don't give Ford a chance, you're cheating yourself. Here at Town & Country Ford, we have the full-size LTD with air for $49.95. We have the six-cylinder automatic Granada for $4,085, and we have America's number one selling truck for $36.95. Town & Country Ford has a unique way of merchandising, striped kits, side pipes, fancy wheels. We have cars and trucks you won't find anywhere. It's your choice, but remember, we sell cars for less.
Town and Country Ford.
6015 Preston Highway.
Remember, Town and Country
Ford. We're Equitable
Ford
Federal
is
Savings and Loan, and we want you to give us a try. We're not Louisville's largest in assets, but we are the best in service. We honestly feel we give you counseling and advice that's second to none. So why not invest your money in a savings and loan? And while you're at it, go where you get the best service in town. Equitable Federal.
At Equitable Federal, things are looking good.
Good for us.
Good for you.
It's rather hard, but if you grew up like Gary Burbank and myself did with Elvis Presley, that kind of music, that was our generation. What was that?
The person on the phone evidently was disconnected there from what I was telling you.
It's sad, but there are also some very good things. And if many of us can leave the legacy that Presley has left, why, it's kind of a mountain.
He did a lot of great things. A lot of good songs. He had a lot of good times, you know, listening to Elvis. Back a long time ago. I was trying to think, trying now to say my favorite song of Elvis. That's a hard thing to come up with. How many? I wonder how many millions of records he did sell. They've got that documented somewhere around here. I don't see it here. Of course, in case you folks have missed some of it, we've updated this a bit now. As it first came over the wire, it was incredible. No one believed it at first. In fact, we checked it out about two or three times to be sure it wasn't someone who snuck in the AP office or something. It put it down a bogus story or something, but it's true. Elvis has died this afternoon at 42 years old, and now the first report was respiratory distress. Now it's we're saying they can't be too sure. The exact cause of death will not be determined until a postmortem examination is complete. And Elvis, we didn't, but the AP contacted his grandmother, Vera Presley, here in Louisville. And, of course, she said it was terrible and that she had thought it would be that all the Presleys, she said, had bad hearts. He was found unconscious at his home by his road manager, Joe Esposito, who placed a call to the hospital. He indicated at that time that Elvis was not breathing and did not have a heartbeat when they found him there. And that's about the latest we have. I see if you have someone on the phone here. Okay.
Hello, Barbara. You're on the air.
Yes. I was listening to the conversation there just a little while ago, and I wanted to comment that the only time that I'd ever see, I'd only seen him once. It was not the past time, but the time before he was here.
Mm-hmm.
I sold programs for an ushering company.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it was just fantastic to see him. It was,
What year was that, Barbara?
That was last year.
Well, last year, I'm thinking about something else. I remember seeing him, when was he here? About 71 at one time, too.
Yeah.
Or 72? I don't remember the year. But,
well, I think it was last year.
I had remarked to Steve off the air, at the time I saw him, I guess he was, 38, 39 years old, 37, something. I remarked to Steve about what he looked to be in just really wonderful condition, physically.
Yeah.
And suddenly after that was when you started getting the reports on him being overweight and maybe having some problems with his health.
Right. Well, he's always been one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's just fantastic.
All the way from, what's the first song you remember hearing that Elvis sang?
Gosh, I don't know.
How about Blue Moon of Kentucky?
Just a minute, Mom.
I was going to say that, Steve. Would you just came up with that? I remember that, and That's All Right Now, Mama.
That's right.
He went into Phillips Recording Studio, Sam Phillips, down in Memphis, Tennessee, a disc jockey down there by the name of Dewey Phillips, who's also dead now, but Dewey and Elvis, he would play Elvis records on a show called Red Hot and Blue on WHBQ in Memphis a long time ago. And you'd hear these Elvis songs and go, what in the world is that? Who is this guy? And everyone was getting turned on to him. And Dewey was just spinning those records all the time, talking about Elvis and saying, call Sam. Sam Phillips was Elvis's, at the time, I think that must have been before Colonel Parker, because Elvis had just come in to meet Sam and recorded a record for his mother. And Sam took him on to be a big star. And a great star who had a bunch of great hits and a lot of good memories.
Barbara, did you know that in 1955 Elvis was known as the Hillbilly Cat?
No, that was a little before my time.
On the Louisiana Hayride, was
That's
it there?
Right. Louisiana Hayride. He was a country singer long before rock and roll.
Yeah, wow.
I appreciate your call, Barbara.
Oh, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's 6:48. Here's an Elvis song, 1972. This is Burning Love. WHAS Elvis, 1972, one of his later efforts. It turned out very well. It's 6:51. Steve, you are going to relate a story about a friend of yours, Al Hinkle.
He owns
a florist shop.
Yeah, that's the guy.
Okay.
And he was telling me that he was in the service with Elvis in Germany. He pulled out some pictures that he carries around in his wallet. Evidently, people must challenge him on, oh, you don't know him.
Yeah, really.
But so he pulled out these pictures, and he was talking about the time that, just to give you an idea of the magnitude of his generosity, he noticed he was standing by, and a whole bunch of privates were mowing this huge expanse of lawn down at Fort Hood, Texas, before they were shipped off to Germany. And Presley stood for a few minutes and watched it and went over to the master sergeant. And Hinkle and a bunch of guys thought, oh, here we go. He gets out of it. He gets out of mowing the grass. So pretty soon, a couple minutes later, Presley gets into a truck and disappears. Half an hour later, he comes back, and on the back of this pickup truck, he's unloading a huge riding lawnmower with
the wide
tractor type blades, and he gave it to the guy. Said, "Here, mow your lawn."
That's the way to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
You mentioned that in the Army. This is another strange thing where I almost crossed paths with him again. This troop, there was a field problem. I was in the Army in 62, and I think this was 60-61, and it was called Winter Shield. In case somebody wants to check up on me on this story, this is true. And we didn't see him, but we did get to come in from the field. You go out there, you don't get to take a shower too often. You get to smelling kind of bad. The officers send you in for a shower. We actually took a shower, they say, in Elvis's barracks there. Yeah, I don't remember the name of the town. He was in Germany. Where was it? It was northern Germany, I think, wasn't it?
Spent most of his time in...
West Germany, but northern West Germany.
Munich.
No, it wasn't Munich. That's southern. This was up further than it was. I know, because it was so cold. It was unbelievable. It was...
Frankfurt.
What,
he was in Frankfurt.
No, this was
for a while.
Further north than that, I think. Further north than that. That's an Air Force base there. Maybe some Army guys hanging around there now and then, though. But I remember that. We were all very excited about it. But I do remember one thing, too. There was no hot water there.
How about Dusseldorf?
Dusseldorf. It could have been there. Dusseldorf. Yeah, I think that's where it was. It could have been there. Wow, this is very strange to be sitting here talking like this. I can't believe it's true. In fact, when it happened, as I said, Glenn Baston was on the phone. And, I'm doing the newscast, and the guy handed him the story. Jan Thomas handed it to him. He looked at me and went ahead and didn't read it right off because he just couldn't believe it almost. You know, he said, and he came on the air. He said, there are times they put these stories in front of me. I can't believe these, something like this sometimes, and I just have to say it. And there it is on the AP. So, it's 6:54. WHS, you have some telephone calls there?
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
We've got Robert on the line. Hello, Robert. Robert? Can you hear me, Robert?
I guess Robert got tired of waiting for us.
I guess he did.
Sometime it takes a little while to get to Robert here.
We'll take another call at 585-2385. What do you remember about Elvis?
Remember this?
In my regards to Broadway,
how about this?
I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy.
You may not remember when these songs were hits, but you know them just the same because they're as much a part of our American heritage as apple pie, baseball, and yes, George M. Cohan. The wonderfully nostalgic musical George M. is vaudeville at its best, and it's coming to Derby Dinner Playhouse Wednesday, August 24th with champagne opening night. The songs are the story, and you can't help but love it. See George M. at Derby Dinner Playhouse.
Gateway and Key Markets.
All you hope for. Store.
Gateway and Key Markets.
Friendly smiles and well-stocked aisles.
Think of us as neighbors who
There are several firsts that Elvis did, Gary, one of which was in 73, this show that was telecast worldwide via satellite was the first show of its kind like that, and it was said to have attracted almost 100 million people. The album that was subsequently released was his first million-selling album in a long time. Burning Love, which was in 72, was a million-selling 45, and that's his last million-selling 45, Burning Love.
Well, I think Way Down is going to make it, though, isn't it?
I think Way Down is pretty well done it, yes,
okay.
And which is from his newest album, Moody Blue, and it's still going up. It's in the top 20, according to trade magazines right now. We've got Robert on the line with us. Or no, we've got Pete this time. Hello, Pete.
Yes, this is Pete Sumner. I'm a dentist here in Louisville, but I just heard you talking about the comments concerning the generosity of Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother has written two songs for Elvis. And he sung for Elvis. And my cousin also sings with Elvis.
Now, when was this, Pete?
Now. In other words, they're with him now.
I see. Who are they, may I ask?
Okay, my brother's name is Don Sumner, and his group is called Voice. And my cousin's group is J.D. Sumner and the Stamps.
Ah, yes.
So I was just thinking about the generosity that you were talking about. We were special guests of his in Vegas for three nights.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a... the one occasion where he came in and brought 25 gold watches and just handed them out, you know, to people in the entourage there. And he bought my cousin one for $9,000 because he thought he hurt his feelings.
Wow.
So it's just, his generosity was just something, you know. His big thing was singing spiritual music.
Right.
And giving gifts. And
yeah, he loved to sing spiritual songs.
This was his thing in life.
Yeah.
Hey, and
you're talking about generosity, Pete. Remember the story, within the last year, maybe, about the lady that was standing there looking at his Cadillac
in
Memphis?
Right.
And
I remember that well.
He came up behind her and said, "You like that car?" She said, "Yeah." I took her over to the Cadillac dealer and bought her one just like it.
That's right. And this reminded me of our experiences. And we saw the three nights that we were there. We were special guests in the suites there in Las Vegas. And at night, he'd put on shows, you know, in karate for us. And just do anything to entertain you, you know. He just seemed like...
he was very good in karate. I remember a story in Hawaii. I don't know how true this is. Maybe you can verify this. Maybe you heard about it. That he had a bodyguard or something that got a little out of line, and Elvis kind of displayed a little karate for the fellow.
Yes, he was very big in karate.
Yeah.
In fact, my brother...
did he hold a black belt? I think he did, didn't he?
He held one of the highest belts, yes. Uh-huh. But my brother said he ran a school, and he would actually train these guys, and then he would hire them out to all the stars. In other words, he would give a karate expert to the stars, you know, to control the crowd.
Yes, was a bodyguard type thing.
And they would be at his expense. And this was just some more of the generosity thing, you know. He would never charge for the service.
Did you get to see him, Pete, when they were here, your brother? And
Yes, we were always at the concerts every time he'd come through.
Mm-hmm.
But the big thing was the night we spent the three nights in Vegas with him. And we were there every night, and we'd stay all morning, you know, and watch the sun come up in his suite.
Really? Wait, did you actually sit there and have a long conversation with him?
Yes, we talked to him. Like, he sent my brother downstairs to get some candy bars out of the machine there. You know, we stayed at the International Hilton.
Uh-huh.
And he would normally have everybody, you know, to taste food, you know, before he would eat it. This was his thing.
Really? He would do that?
Yeah, he sent my brother down one night, you know, to get a lot of candy bars out of the machine.
Yeah.
And we got to talk about, you know, the foods he likes. And he was real big on a banana and peanut butter sandwiches.
Oh, really?
And these are the things that he talked about. You know, he talked about pets and the foods he likes.
Did he have a pet?
Yes, he did. He was real big on dogs. Like, he had one big sheepdog that he kept at his home in Memphis.
Uh-huh.
And my brother said that he ordered this huge mink rug, you know, by the fireplace, you know, just for the dog to rest. And his generosity was just...
I love him because of that. You hear a lot of people saying, well, look at him trying to buy a friendship. Elvis had the money. I mean, spend it and have a good time with it? And that's what he did with it a lot of times.
But his thing was giving to others. And
I love him for that, too.
That's exactly what I will always remember.
Okay. Well, Pete, thanks for the telephone call.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
As the snow flies on a cold and gray Chicago morning, a poor little baby child is born in the ghetto. And his mama cries,
WHAS Elvis and In the Ghetto. 1969, a couple of Elvis fans sitting here right now. Gary Burbank, Steve George is with me. You had a comment on that song?
Yeah, Gary, that's one of the two songs that were the protest variety or the stating some kind of a stand on something that Elvis ever recorded. The other one was called If I Can Dream. And this one...
I don't remember If I Can Dream.
That was from a 1968 TV special he did, If I Can Dream, and it got into the top 20, but it wasn't a million seller.
If I heard it, it would come back to me.
And Mac Davis, he wanted Elvis to record this as a payment for doing all that he had done for him. And Presley said, well, if you've got that kind of confidence that it'll be a hit, why don't you record it? And supposedly Davis said, no, it's my way of saying thanks to you.
Yeah.
So that's how he wound up recording it.
Our number is 585-2385. We're going to take a break here for Walter Cronkite and some news commentary. We'll return, and we'll ask for your telephone calls and some good things you remember about Elvis coming up. This is WHAS Louisville.
This is Roger Mudd reporting with news and commentary on the CBS Radio Network. Budget Director Burt Lance was among 20 government officials who met with President Carter yesterday. Their subject, government reorganization. But another subject must have been in the background. Would Mr. Lance be around for many more White House meetings, or would he soon be sent packing home to Georgia? A look at the Lance affair after this.
Anheuser-Busch Natural Light is in town. It won't fill you up, so it won't slow you down.
Now there's a beer you can take lightly, 'cause it's the natural way to go. It's called Anheuser-Busch Natural Light. It won't fill you up, you know, because we brew it naturally. The taste is clean and light, like Bodenbusch and Michelob. You know we brew it right. Anheuser-Busch Natural Light is in town. It won't fill you up, so it won't slow you down.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Attention, general contractors, service stations, fleet automotive garages, and the general public. There's a huge tool liquidation sale going on at the Admiral Benbow Inn, 3315 Bardstown Road at the Waterson Expressway. It's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. An absolute closeout sale, no option or no bidding. Many of these tools will sell for approximately 30 cents on the dollar, far below the manufacturer's cost. There will be name brands on sale, such as Chicago Pneumatic, Ingersoll Rand, Rodak, Black & Decker, Skill, AEG, and more. You'll find tools like the Chicago Power Tool, a 5-speed industrial bench-type drill press with a half-inch chuck, half-horsepower capacitor start motor, manufacturer-suggested price $5.95, on sale for $200 while they last. You'll also find electric and air drills, drill bits, air sanders, impact wrenches and hammers, floor jacks, and more. See all this at the Admiral Benbow Inn, Bardstown Road at the Waterson Expressway, this Sunday noon till 7:30, Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. till 9 p.m. Sponsored by Nationwide Liquidators.
Whether Burt Lance will keep his job largely depends on the findings of government investigators. They have looked into the way he handled his own money before he became budget director and how he ran the National Bank of Georgia and the Calhoun Bank of Georgia. News reports today indicate that federal investigators have drawn no conclusions of their own. Instead, they will reportedly forward the facts to the White House. It will be left to President Carter to interpret the findings and to decide if the Justice Department should begin a criminal investigation. Lance's current predicament is a sharp turnabout from the situation just 3 weeks ago when he testified before the Senate Governmental Affairs Committee. He fielded some gentle questions then about the declining value of his National Bank of Georgia stock and whether he could keep his promise to sell it by the end of the year. He also denied news reports alleging an improper connection between a large personal loan that he got from a Chicago bank shortly before he became budget director and a financial relationship that his National Bank of Georgia established with the Chicago bank. The committee took him at his word, and committee chairman Abraham Ribicoff proclaimed that the press had smeared Lance's good name from one end of the country to the other. It now appears that it's the smear charges against the press that have evaporated, not the allegations against Burt Lance. For instance, an internal memo recently discovered at New York's manufacturer's Hanover Trust Bank raises questions about another large personal loan received by Lance before he took office. It was Lance himself who made the memo public, apparently hoping to defuse the issue by leaking the document himself. But the more troubling questions involve Mr. Lance's activities at the Calhoun Bank of Georgia and what government officials did when they first found out about them. In 1973, when Lance headed the Calhoun Bank, he withdrew much more money than he had in his own account there. Some of the funds were used to pay for his unsuccessful campaign to be governor of Georgia in 1974. Eventually, he paid the money back, but the regional controller of the currency deemed the incident serious enough to refer it to the Justice Department. 2 days before Mr. Lance was nominated to be budget director, the Justice Department decided there were no grounds to prosecute Mr. Lance. In 1975, the Calhoun Bank was accused of sloppy management. Robert Bloom, the acting controller of the currency, made Lance's bank agree to monthly inspections. Then, just 1 day before Lance's nomination as budget director, the agreement to monitor the bank was canceled. This did not come out at Lance's confirmation hearings. In fact, acting controller Bloom sent the Senate a letter giving Lance a clean bill of health. Whether Lance or government officials acted illegally or improperly remains to be seen. But the fact that there was not a full disclosure back then could give credence to allegations of a cover-up. Just the appearance of a cover-up can be damaging in post-Watergate Washington. And in that sense, the Lance affair is as much an embarrassment to Jimmy Carter as it is to Lance himself. Mr. Carter promised a government that would be above suspicion. Instead, he has to contend with what columnist William Safire is calling Lancegate. Bert Lance may or may not lose his job, but Jimmy Carter has almost surely lost face.
From the people who brought you Die Hard batteries, Road Handler tires, and Steady Rider shock absorbers comes the Sears Muzzler. The aluminized muffler that's only $19.99 installed. The Muzzler. So tough, Sears promises the Muzzler will last as long as you own your American-made car. Or return it for refund or replacement free. And if Sears installed it, they'll install the new one free. The Muzzler. Only $19.99 installed. The Muzzler. At most Sears Tire and Auto Centers.
Has President Carter bought peace or a peck of trouble with the Panama Canal Treaty? Newsweek magazine analyzes his historic proposal. Also in Newsweek this week, how Sweden, the welfare state that's supposed to work, isn't quite working.
The weather forecast for Kentucky had a considerable cloudiness through Wednesday, a chance of showers and thundershowers. That should happen later this evening, becoming more likely and possible heavy tonight and tomorrow sometime. Highs today, well, the mid-80s. We just about made the mid. In fact, 91 was the high temperature this evening. Lows tonight in the low 70s. Tomorrow's highs again the low to mid-80s. It's currently 89 degrees in Lowell. At 11 past 7 o'clock, Steve George is with me here. And Milton Metz came in and said that to remind the folks out there, he has scrapped the topic he had for this evening. I've forgotten what it was, but he'll continue the telephone calls that we're taking now. Concerning the good things you remember about Elvis Presley. And I got a good thing I remember about him from 1960 when he sang this song.
Okay, we've got Barbara on the line right now. Hello, Barbara.
Hi.
What are your memories of Elvis Presley?
Well, it's a... something that I'd like to share with you that happened a little while ago with my little 8-year-old.
Okay.
To hear it. I was cooking dinner and she come right upstairs. I didn't have the radio on at the time and she had heard it on TV and she was crying. She's getting into popular music right now and she has really been taken with Elvis. And she said, "Mom, Elvis has died." And I said, "Are you sure?" And she said, "Yes." And we had turned on the radio and we're listening and she looked up at me and she said, "It's not fair, Mom." She said, "I want to grow up with him, too, just like you did." She said, "I like him." And I said, "Well, maybe it's time for him to go to be with God like everybody has to be."
She can still grow up with him because the legacy lives on. You know, that's one thing fortunate about the whole thing. It didn't happen in the 1800s. We've got him right here on record.
Yeah.
You'll hear him forever.
Yeah, and I said, you'll still know him. And she looked up at me, and I liked the comment she made to me. She said, "You know what, Mom?" I said, "What?" She said, "I bet when we all get to heaven, he's going to be leading the rock and roll bands up there for all of us." And she's 8 years old, and I said, "I bet you know he will be." And I said, "We won't ever forget him. We'll always love him."
It's a beautiful story, Barbara. Appreciate your sharing it with us.
I share it with you.
I appreciate that.
I'm an 8-year-old.
Okay.
It's 15 past 7 o'clock now, WHAS.
Is right now. Hello, Tom.
Yeah, Steve.
Yeah.
You know, talking about old Elvis dying, you know, it's hard to believe. It's harder to take than, like, a member of the family dying, really.
I know.
He's been around with us, you know, through the ages. I'm just 30 now. But, going with his music all this time, it's hard to believe, you know.
It's almost like the brother we never met.
That's
know?
Right. You're going to be missing him, I tell you. And he was a king, and there's no doubt about it.
Did you ever get to see him in concert?
We tried, but every time we got there, the tickets was done gone. You know, we tried to get him in advance and all. It was just gone. But he was a fantastic person, I tell you.
Well, we appreciate you calling, Tom.
Thank you, Steve.
Bye-bye.